Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Monday Night Tiger Cast. Hope everybody's going well. Good evening, gentlemen. Grok, welcome, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good to be back after a dodgy kebab last week.
Geelong kebab shop. Kebab.
Yeah, trying to poison me. Good to be back.
Oh, they're out to get you. Jesus, no, yeah. It's good. As I said to you, the worst part about that is it's you don't want to get turned off the kebab. You don't want to have, lingering bad memories of the kebab. You've got to get back on the horse.
The one time I choose a kebab over a HSP, and this is what happens.
You get stung. Jesus. Good to have you here, though. CB, welcome, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you, folks. Good, thank you. A little bit to go through tonight. Let's get into it.
This is, I suppose, branded as a bit of a therapy session, which we did a couple of last year as well. But not the greatest results. Firstly, I do want to give a shout out to Tiggs, who's still under the weather and battling the concussion stuff. I know we all like to have a laugh at his expense for a lot of different things, but this definitely isn't one of them. It's definitely a serious thing that he's got going on. So, there's been a couple of weeks now where, in the middle of the day, he said, keen to come on, but then as the day gets on, he's just progressively feeling worse. So hopefully, Tiggs, if you're listening, that you do start feeling better for the whole course of a day soon, and your health always comes first, as always. So shout out to Tiggs and to EJ as well, who's looking after a family member. Family stuff always comes first as well. So hope you all both are doing well. But welcome to everybody who's jumping into the chat. Good to see people all tuning in. Tiger Cast injury list has been a shambles. Well, I thought that some of us might be half a chance to actually play this week at the rate we're going. We might actually get a call up, CB. You might have to dust the boots off.
Actually informed everyone tonight that I'm not even playing over 35s this year. So I've had a gutful, just going to take a winter off. And zero people at the dinner table believed me and all said, give it 3 weeks and you'll be back in there somewhere. So we'll see what happens.
A good call on this one as well, Struggletown. Hopefully everyone did have a good Easter that's joining us, and just a good long weekend and some time off, and a bit of a break from work is always nice. So all right, we'll get stuck into it. Actually, before we'll talk about the Bulldog game, before we do, I've got a mini rant / PSA, public service announcement. When you attend the football, any male, female, whatever, and you're sitting in the crowd, just before you start getting stuck into the game and swearing in particular and carrying on, just be mindful of who is sitting around you, especially when there's young kids. We had a group behind us we're in a Richmond area, and I think this has happened because you can sell your seats now. And there was a Bulldog supporter, a St Kilda supporter, a Tiger supporter, and the banter they were having was pretty good. Some of it was quite funny, but one of them was just kind of going over top of the swearing side of things. And we just had to give him a bit of a gentle reminder to just be mindful of who's around with the elderly people and my young fellas. And to his credit, he straightened up, and I did sort of, tell him at halftime, I appreciate it. But yeah, just be mindful, guys. When you go to sports stuff, just please be mindful of where you're sitting and keep everything in check, because we want it to be a family event, family occasion. So yeah. Bit of a gripe there.
Yeah, especially during day and sort of afternoon games where kids are more likely to be there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I don't get many chances to take them because the night games are completely out of the question. It's just too hard. Being an afternoon game, it was a bit easier to do, and it just can leave a bad taste in the mouth. But look, he improved over the course of the game and then moved later on. So, but no, the Bulldogs game, boys, very, very interesting game. It felt like one quarter was pretty good, CB. We kicked, 8 goals. And, as a lot of the socials were saying, can't remember the last time we kicked 8 goals in a quarter, maybe even let alone a half. So that was good. But outside of that, it wasn't the prettiest.
Are we following the...
Oh, thing, or we... oh, no, sorry. Okay, we're going to go injury list first. Injury list first.
Sorry. This is a few things before we do the review. That's all. We've got a few things to cover off before the review.
Injury list first. It's getting far too long, CB. Far too long.
Firstly, EJ, do you see what happens when you take a night off? Michaels just loses it. He can't run his ship, mate, without you. It's just
been out watching Mario, been eating popcorn. It's just a big day.
Right, so what we'll do, we'll start off with the injury list because there was more injury news that came out of the club today on top of Nankervis. So it's important. I'll go through some names because no doubt people will be thinking ins and outs for Adelaide. But when you hear maybe some of the names, you probably weren't aware of what actually happened in the reserves as well. So we'll start with the big one. So according, this is all off the club, Luke Meehan's thing on the club website. So Tom Lynch has a foot fracture, had surgery today, actually looking at a possible long-term recovery there. So it's actually worse than we were hoping. Nankervis, syndesmosis in the left ankle, had surgery, looking at medium term there. Tarrant re-aggravated his hip injury in the reserves on Saturday. So now he's been classed as indefinite. Bradkey broke his hand in the weekend in the reserves. He's having surgery, or he's had surgery today. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks. Biggie rolled his ankle, swollen. They are hoping he gets up for next weekend. Soldo has plantar fasciitis, and they're hoping, they're saying he's turned the corner on that one, and they're hoping it's now a short-term recovery. Graham's hamstring was on the lighter side. So all I said on the club info was hoping sooner than later. So you'll say anywhere hamstring 2 to 4 weeks is generally the rule of thumb there. Tom Brown. Yep. Tom Brown had surgery last week on his wrist, so he's now out to medium term. And the only remotely half-decent news is Shorty will be back maybe for, not this weekend, the weekend after. But that is a substantial injury list at the Richmond Football Club right now, lads. I'll let you have a chat now. What do you reckon?
That's staggering, isn't it? It feels like we're talking about the same thing each year. And I get this, you know, people are a bit alarmed or concerned about the soft tissue injuries, but your syndesmosis and your hand injuries, they're impact-based. That's not poor conditioning. That's just a bit of bad luck in a bad, wrong place, wrong time. Obviously, Graham's is soft tissue, but it's one of those things. As I tweeted, when it rains, it bloody pours, Grok. I mean, and you don't want to make excuses, and I'm kind of linking it to the result slightly, but you don't want to make excuses for how the game panned out. But losing Graham and then hearing if Nank and Lynch obviously playing in pain or not at 100%, it can obviously impact how a game unfolds. But the worst part of it, Grok, is the players who were probably meant to come in for the guys who were injured are now also injured.
Yeah, it's funny because if there were two players, you'd say we probably couldn't afford to lose in the first sort of 12 weeks up until the bye. You'd say it's Lynch and Nank because we've the injuries at VFL level, obviously Soldo's out. You know, we just don't really have that cover for them now. So the players that were likely to come in for Lynch and Nank, obviously Ryan's now playing. So Ryan, no matter what, has to play again next week now because he's the best option we have. But Biggie's been dominating the ruck for the last month now. So he was probably the player to come in to play that predominant ruck role that Nank does. And, of course, he rolled his ankle. So it's not I feel a bit bad for Biggie in that one. But, yeah, it's just we get injuries at AFL level and the players that come in to replace them just get injured as well. So it's a bit of a shit run at the moment. And the only thing that I will say that I'm sort of thankful about is we're heading into winter. So I think with the weather starting to deteriorate again, Lynch probably not the worst injury to have, being a bigger man as the weather starts getting wetter and windier and things like that. So if it had been one of our midfielders, you know, Hopper, Taranto, Prestia, I think that probably would have been worse with the incoming weather that we have. But Nathan, Gibkiss won't be back until after the bye. That's straight from Dimmer and stuff. He had a little bit of a setback. So, yeah, it won't be back until after the bye. But, yeah, I think this is where we need to start bringing back in those smaller players, Ross, Rioli Jr., things like that, where we need to bring our pressure back.
Well, it's going to completely reshape the forward line again, CB. It's almost like we're going to have to wind back the clock to pre-Tom Lynch days with just Jack and a supporting cast. Obviously, Noah Cumberland can play a role down there as well in some capacity too.
I think so. I think, in my likes and dislikes, I was going to bring up Dustin Martin. I guess I mean, Dusty Cumbo and Jack's going to be still a pretty handy triangle of terror with the young blokes buzzing arena. So we've got plenty of scoring opportunities. You just got to hope we don't bomb it in to Jack into a one-on-three. They're going to walk it straight out. So obviously the connection between midfield and forward line, there's going to be a hell of a lot of work put into that over the next few weeks purely because of the change. But having said that, I think Ben Miller gets his go now. I think Samson Ryan becomes the main ruck. And we'll still have two big blokes, two big bears running around in Miller and Rewalt. So still some tall timber to aim at, I guess.
And I don't mean this with any disrespect to Nank whatsoever, but I think there's definitely been times where Samson Ryan has actually been the better tap ruckman for us and given us better use or better opportunity to get first use. So not necessarily the worst thing in terms of his confidence and development.
Yep. The one thing I just don't want to see with these injuries is Bolter up forward. That's the one thing that I pray does not happen.
No. Like, well, it can't happen now, mate. We've lost, Biggie's got a crook ankle and Tarrant's done a hip. He ain't moving anywhere forward of the ball.
Unless they bring Miller in as the defender and move Bolter up forward.
Surely not. Bolter's been playing too
but
good.
Please, yeah, absolutely.
Leave him there. Don't change him. Graham, you're spot on, mate. The injury list is staggering, especially when you consider that a week out from round one, we probably had one of the healthiest lists out of the entire comp. We had pretty much a full squad to pick from, bar maybe one or two, players that were under a bit of injury cloud. And then now, all of a sudden, bloody half the list gone. It's just ridiculous. But anyway, it is what it is. And, I suppose in times like this, it does create some opportunity for other players. And it does feel like we'll see a lot more of the youngsters coming through and getting their fair crack at it. And without trying to take away from the review piece, I, for one, enjoyed seeing what the young Cubs were doing on the weekend, which I'm sure we'll touch on after. Tom Lynch, wowee. When I saw Twitter lighting up with this CB, I really did think people were taking the piss out of me that someone had been reported for something that had or hadn't happened, and I saw your comment, and I tend to 100% agree with you that in reality, Lynch was probably not far off getting awarded a free kick for impeding his run and jump at the ball. I know he mistimed his efforts to get to the marking contest, but Keith also had his eyes off the ball and was a big factor in what actually happened. And then I can't get the bloody video to load, but last week, was it Fremantle and Port Adelaide, maybe, or whoever it was?
It was Frio West Coast, the derby. Identical incident,
and no report to come of it. But I think the West Coast player maybe kept playing is the only difference. But it's mind-blowing this has gone straight to the tribunal, CB.
So, two things. The first one was I didn't even know he'd been reported till I was in the car driving on the way home. My brother rang me up and he goes, "Do you know Lynch got reported?" And I was like, "For what?" I legit couldn't recall anything untoward. This puts the AFL in a really tough position by what they've done now, because currently the system is reactive. They are penalising and suspending players on outcomes. So the problem you've got is it does nothing to change or alter behaviours. And it's the behaviours of what they have to change with the players. So if Tom Lynch and Keith collide like they did and Keith gets up, no one even talks about it. No one even discusses it. But because he got injured in a contact, all of a sudden he's referred directly to the tribunal. And it's garbage because it was a football action. The guy's gone to block him. Lynch did not raise his arm, his elbow. He made no contact with the head. He just happens to be a friggin' monster of a bloke who can hit you like a brick shit house. And this is such a wrong thing for it to be referred. And I don't care if it's Tom Lynch or not. If that had been Jeremy Cameron doing that to a bloody defender, I would have said the same thing. That should not be getting looked at. Take Richmond out of it. That action should not be being looked at because that is not that is a football act. It's a contact sport. So they're putting themselves in a very... So the problem is now due to the inconsistencies of how they judge and appraise these things. And I bloody do. I don't care what their matrix and their spreadsheets say. they're now going to have to look at every single incident. Because otherwise, people go, well, Jesus Christ, what about Tom Lynch? What about the... They're just creating a massive headache for themselves. Dumb.
Exactly right. And now essentially what they're saying, Grok, is that action was deemed same, if not worse, than Cozzy Pickett missile himself off the ground deliberately trying to take someone out, and was lucky that it didn't cause like severe injury. And I think it's the slow-mo pics that I think do this an injustice, because anything can look really shit out in a slow-motion picture. But reality is, Lynch only braced himself in the very last microsecond when he realized that Keith was at his feet and that he'd probably overrun the ball a little bit. I agree with CB though, Grok. It's a football act, and my fear is because they know he's going to be sitting out for 2 or 3 months with an injury, that they're going to take the chance to give a hefty suspension to send a message.
Yeah, and it's complete shit, because what was Lynch supposed to do in that situation? People are saying, oh, he should have just gone up for the mark and he would have got the free kick for front-on contact. But that leaves Lynch's ribs and his kidney and everything wide open for Keith to crash into. And we saw what happened with Dusty when he copped that hit to his kidneys a couple of years ago. Like, he either leaves himself open to get injured or he tries to defend himself. And it's one of those ones where you're right, with Cozzy Pickett, like, Pickett clearly made that choice to make contact. Lynch was just protecting himself. The only other way that Lynch could have protected himself was if he put his knee up to stop Keith coming in. But what happens if that knee makes contact with Keith's head? Potentially caves the cheekbone in, fractures eye socket. The potential to cause injury would be even further if Lynch did the knee rather than brace for himself for what he did. So they've opened up a can of worms with this whole bump situation where players can't even protect themselves in a marking contest anymore. And that's just ridiculous. It's almost like that they brought in a couple of years ago that they're designed to protect the player contesting the ball or the player with the ball in possession. What was Lynch supposed to do there? Like, there was no option where a player wasn't at least going to get hurt somewhat, whether they got up and walked off or they didn't, like Keith did. There was always going to be one player getting injured, and it was, unfortunately, it was the player that was running backwards with the ball, not looking at it. So, yeah, I think it's just, as David King says, this is a Tom Lynch tax. If that had been Tom Hawkins, it'd be, you know, play on, no, nothing. So, yeah, it's just a weird one, and the AFL have absolutely opened a can of worms with this whole bump thing now. So they've backed themselves into a corner.
And
just a shout out to Matty Arndt there, the ex Richmond player, is tuned in. So g'day,
Mustang.
Yes, hey. Matty Arndt, welcome. And it's like, where do you draw the line? Obviously, everyone would have seen, Paddy McCartan getting knocked out in the midst of a tackle. And, like, I know it was no malice in the tackle, but, like, where do you draw the line with it? And all the best to McCartan and to Keith, by the way, for recovery. Like, no one wants to see players concussed, but they just have to end up being a difference with a line drawn between what was an intentional act and what is a footy act. It's just crazy. But the problem is that we've got is that there's a massive witch hunt on Lynch from opposition supporters and media and things like that, because in their eyes, he's a thug, he's a sniper, he got away with stuff, whatever, whatever. But a footy act's a footy act, and I'm with you, CB. It wouldn't matter who the player was, what team they played for. You can't get punished for that, as Jaeger O'Meara didn't in the game the week before. Marking contest, ran under the ball and play on.
Can I just say, I saw a thing on Fox Footy on Twitter today, only a couple of hours ago. And I think it was Gary Lyon. There's a heading there. And I kid you not, the headline was, let's not be too quick to run Paddy McCartan out of the game. That's the headline of a guy who's had over 10 concussions, and yet it's the same mob saying Tom Lynch must go for X amount of weeks on a footy act.
Like, they're all over the shop.
The hypocrisy is real.
It just blows my mind. Blows my mind how bad these guys are, how shit they are at their job.
Yeah. Anyway, look, Lynch is going to be missing time anyway, no matter what the outcome is here. But I hope, even though he's going to be missing games regardless, I hope that we can test it one way or another, just as a matter of principle, because it's just bullshit. But yeah, we should see where that one lands.
The other thing with the game is the amount of sling tackles that did not get punished on the weekend. So many players doing the same action that Broad did, just, you know, no.
Well, there was one today. I don't know if everyone saw Gary Rowan's tackle today. Just got lucky that there was no concussion, but exact same motion. Yeah, exact same motion.
Yep.
So it's annoying, but there's not much we can do about it. We just have to ride the waves, I suppose. But all right, we'll roll it into the talking about the game, the Bulldogs game. We lost by 5 points, 12-12-84 to 12-17-89. Shit house conditions, CB. I know you were there as well. It was blustery, it was windy, it was all kinds of messed up. Our second quarter, we did, but the second quarter was good. Put 8 goals on the board, which we haven't done for quite some time. But to then only kick, 2 goals? I think it might have been for the entire second half. That's where the game ends up being won and lost for whatever the reasons. And then their talls kind of dominated us on a wet and blustery night, which is a little bit annoying as well. But what did you guys make of the game and what were your likes and dislikes?
Yeah, Grogger.
Yeah, it was a frustrating one. I felt like we had our chances in the first quarter, just didn't take him. I do think that they were the better team for probably 70% of that first quarter. Again, we didn't take our chances. But again, it was just that rushed handball, just trying to play slick football with the handball and the run in pouring rain and wet, soggy ball, players not keeping their feet. And I think that was just poor decision-making in that regard. Just didn't play the conditions at all. And then when it cleared up, obviously there was a massive shift in that second quarter where we put the handball game away, started using the kicks a lot more. And it's funny because it's the same game plan that's gotten us back into the Collingwood and Adelaide games where we slowed the game down, be precise with our foot skills and worked our way up the ground. And then second half, straight back into the handball game that did not work in the first half. It was almost incredulous to watch on TV, just seeing us completely ditch a game plan that had worked and got us 7 goals in 15 minutes and 8 and a quarter. It was ridiculous. I thought Baker had a bit of a dirty game, just a lot of turnovers, tried his guts out, which you can't fault Bakes for, but I just thought that was one game where he didn't really have the best of it. I thought, even though numbers suggest he didn't have a huge game, I thought McIntosh played really well. I think he was one of the very few that actually played the conditions better than most others. I think he only had the 16 disposals, but his last quarter was ridiculous. He had 4 intercept marks in that last quarter alone. I thought Hopper was okay. Obviously, in and under. We did get smashed in clearances, but he was probably the best of our midfielders. Bolton looked so much better up the ground. I don't care what anyone says now. I think he needs to be a midfielder. Up forward, I do think he gets tunnel vision, gets a bit selfish at times and tries to do the impossible and the flashy stuff far too often. I think he's much better with the ball in his hand delivering to someone. And I think with that, it will allow us to play Dusty and Cumberland up forward in the same team. I don't think we can play all three of Bolton, Cumberland and Dusty in the same forward line. And I think Bolton's probably the one that needs to go forward. So,
Grock. But it's a good call on Bolton. But I reckon the game on Saturday night was the first time in a long time that I saw him be very unselfish and was actually looking for teammates when he would have maybe normally had a bullshit shot around his body, which is I felt like he was doing the 1% is better than he has this year and maybe the back end of last year. And as a result, he got his own reward of 3 goals. So it's kind of just keep doing that, Bolton.
Yeah, that was his best game for the year by a long stretch. And I think it sort of helped that Dusty also spent a lot of time in the midfield. It meant that Bolton could be that number one, didn't have that sort of mindset of, I need to be the one, to do this or that and that. So I think with Bolton and Dusty, they're much better when one or the other can rotate through the midfield. If they're both up forward, I think they get in each other's way. Cumberland had a dirty night as well. Yes, he kicked some goals, but some of the turnovers he had were absolutely ridiculous. But the one that I want to really, I don't want to give a bake to, but I think he's at that point where he needs to pull his head in is Grimes as captain. His kicking in that last quarter, the decisions that he made in a game where we were 10 points up and decides to switch kick 50 metres into the corridor at centre-half back that gets turned over and, you know, results in a goal to the Doggies, that's just poor decision-making, poor situational awareness. And for an area that we were supposed to have practiced and worked on so heavily in the off-season after last year, it was just a dumb decision. Like, there was no need for him to do that at all. And that got them into the game.
I think he wasn't alone, though. There was a lot of bad skill that was going on, CB. I know the conditions play a part as well, but there were some ones that absolutely crucified us.
Yeah, but look, I actually liked the kid's game. Like, I thought, I know Cumbo made some mistakes, but he presented well on the lead, on the move. Good hit up target. I thought Hugo's game off the halfback line was very, very good. Again, was it the tail who put up Young's numbers about the one-on-one? He's like six in the league for one-on-one contests and something else. So Young's coming on really, really well. Like, you think of those two key posts, Young and Bolter, what, between them 60 games? You know, two key posts. The young blokes had come in. I thought Judson Clark did some really good things.
Yeah, I like Sonzi and Juddy Clark. I thought they were good CV.
So how was Sonzi shaking bacon for... I did a Dwaynism. He's shaking bacon. Was it the first or second quarter?
In the first. That way,
was it?
That was like... Because we look at going, who the hell was that? And it's like, Sonzi. You know, it was, so it was a... I'm going to do that all year just to annoy people. So I thought there's some... So the irony is, for a team that apparently doesn't have much talented youth, I thought the kids were very against a bigger team, big bodies. I thought they were really good. And Samson Ryan, what can you do, mate? When we come out after halftime and it's absolutely sheeting down, like it was so wet, and he's a big, tall giraffe. You know, it's like, my God. But so the positives for me, I liked what I saw from what the kids and the pace and energy they injected into the team. I thought it was really, really good. The other thing I really liked was Dusty. It just showed he still got some fuel in the tank, didn't it? When he went in the middle and got some drive out of there, and that mark, it won't get mark of the year, but that mark on Liam Jones, that was an absolute belter.
I had a long fan tag me on Twitter asking that exact question. He's like, look, I know it wasn't flashy, but surely that's a contender. And I said, well, based on the conditions were horrific, and he took it so clean.
Jones scragging him as well, like all over him.
Yeah. It was so that to me, you're like, the only thing I'm not saying on Dusty, and just the viewers just watch this moving forward. I think Dusty's lost a bit of penetration in his kicking. I think the kicks he would normally hit from 50, they're not quite making the journey right now. So that's probably one to watch, but my God, still, he's still the man.
He was our cleanest player by a mile on Saturday night, easily.
Yeah. What I disliked was, and it's already been raised, we were for 5 years the best wet weather team in the competition. We played such a simple game based on meterage. Just keep moving it forward. Get it down there, lock it in, eventually we'll score. I don't know how many times we went for the extra handball or tried to do his handball chain in tight through. We cough it up either at half back or in the center line. Dogs would get a forward edge. It's like, and I don't know how they didn't hear 56,000 people screaming, kick the fucking thing, right? Get it down the line. When you got big blokes to aim at and mobile fellas like Cumberland and that, you saw when it came in quick, we actually troubled the defense. But no, we just tried to... It was always one disposal too many, so many times. It was infuriating. So, Dimmer, I know you're a big fan of the show. Next time we play in those conditions, can you just get the frigging thing in? Just belt it like dirty ball in, and I'm telling you, we will score, right?
It's one of the first things they teach you in under nines. Wet weather football, just kick it forward. Just get the meters. Take the ground.
Correct. 100%.
Simple stuff.
Yep. The other one was, Don't think it's another game we should have won, like the Carlton game. So it felt like, again, it's one that's got away from us. But what I will say, I'll temper that comment because I was seething for about 48. I literally haven't watched any footy since our game. I just refused to. I've caught up in a lot of Netflix and other shit. I just could not stomach watching footy, particularly after the Lynch report. But given the injuries we had, it made more sense, like why we got belted in the middle in the second half. When Nankervis couldn't run or jump, it makes a hell of a lot of sense. And Tom Lynch, you know, like credit to those blokes soldiering on, injured, but we're effectively down three players in those conditions. So I think it's probably a bit more of a credible effort than initially I thought in hindsight, is what I'll say.
Also, you've got Graham pinging his hammy in the you know, late first, early second. He would have been the one that would have gone straight to Bontempelli in that second half once he started getting off the chain as well. So that was a big loss for us as well.
Yeah.
Correct. So you go, Michael. Sorry.
Oh, so this, that was probably the biggest disappointment for me was probably our lack of accountability in the second half. There was plenty of times the ball was inside Doggy's 50 and we got players like Caleb Daniel 8 metres in the clear by himself, able to get shots on goal. Oh. I just think there were some basic fundamentals that, whether it was a communication thing on the ground between the players about who was meant to be covering who, but we just let a lot of their good ball users off the leash and they were able to hurt us. And yeah, like, and to tie into what you said, CB, having Nank on one leg doesn't really help if we, you know, Tim English is running forward and taking grabs as well. He kicked a couple of goals.
Yeah.
I know he got some early in the piece as well, but yeah, that was probably the main disappointment for me was our lack of shutting down their prime users later on in the game. And it's not isolated to this one game. It happens quite a lot and it's infuriating. But the upside for me, like you guys touched on, were the Cubs. Young to me is a really old school defender. Just goes the punch, doesn't try and take bullshit hangers from five deep, just does the disciplined thing. And he was actually one who was just kicking the ball forward when he had it under a bit of pressure, which is fine because the conditions kind of suggest that that's an okay method of play. But I enjoyed his game. Yeah, Justin Clark, like we said, Sonzi. To me, that was the silver lining. And I know there was mistakes from those guys, but that's a combination of the conditions and their experience. They'll learn, they'll get better. But yeah, just the clearances for me was the biggest issue for the game. We got absolutely smoked, 42-26. It's a part of the game that we've tried to address with bringing in Hopper and Taranto, and maybe it's a little bit of them getting used to the game style or a little bit of Nank being injured and a little bit of the conditions, I'm not sure, but we're not going to win too many more games if we don't address that issue going forward. It's just, yeah, we got absolutely slapped.
Yeah. But the thing with the clearances is it all depends on the ruckman and the midfield we come up against. We got smashed by Collingwood and Carlton last year in clearances. We beat Carlton in round one and we lost by 5 against the Pies in round 3. So our clearance work, I would say, as a whole, has gotten drastically better. It's just coming up against, and we all know Nank's worst matchups are a ruckman who can run around the ground and go forward. He's always struggled against Nick Nat. He's always struggled against Gorn. He's always struggled against Grundy. And now English is another one who's run him off his feet and gone forward. But you also have a look at the Dogs. The Dogs have probably got the best two-way midfield in the league, in my opinion. Like, Melbourne are very good around the contest, but the Dogs around the contest and their spread from the contest is probably the best in the league, in my opinion. They run all day. They can win their own ball. They're very quick on the outside. And we just got smashed. Like, I think we'll see a massive bounce back in that regard against the Swans, who aren't a very quick break side from the midfield. I think
we've got some numbers on that coming up. Yeah. We've got some numbers on that. So, yeah.
The only thing I want to say, you go.
I just want to say one more thing. If there's any neutral people watching this, Richmond supporters don't get upset at the free kicks that get paid against us per se. What upsets us is the free kicks that don't get paid the other way for the same things. That is why we boo the umpires and we hate them.
Well, I was about to mention
case in point, Samson Ryan get done. Yep. The Samson Ryan one in the middle of the ground, had it, didn't get it, just dropped it, gets pinged. 5 minutes later, Norton does the same thing up forward and leads to a goal. Literally drops it straight to a player who kicks a goal. Exactly the same thing. One gets called, one doesn't. It's like there's no consistency.
What about Vlosten giving away the too high in the...
Oh, my God. The worst free kick.
Oh, dear. And like, I'm not, again, and folks, not at all. Is anyone suggesting that the umpires cost us the game? Because there's plenty of things
that should have done better. That free kick cost us the game.
That was a shit free kick.
A bullshit free kick cost us overall in the context of the game, and at the time it occurred, absolutely it did.
I think the four umpires is not working.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you guys saw the screenshots that I posted on Bigfooty of lob holding Bolter. And Norton took a mark and goal. I think it was for his second of the game. Literally, the ball gets kicked out of the centre by McRae. And you can see Lobb literally has Bolter by the arm like this, not allowing him to go third man up. You count it. It was 5 seconds that he was holding for from the time the camera caught it to the time Norton marked it. Lobb had him by the arm, not allowing Bolter to run to try and intercept. Like, it was absolutely ridiculous.
All you can do is sometimes laugh at that stuff.
No,
yeah, no one could work out what happened there.
Instead of three green dickheads on the ground now, we've got four incompetent knobs, all with their own different interpretations. And for some reason, our forward line cannot buy a freaking free kick, and yet you go down the other end, and the amount of free kicks we give away in our defensive 50 is off the charts. Off the charts, and it's garbage.
Maybe five umpires is the answer. Jeez, God, who knows?
I give them ideas, Lady Hawk.
Yeah. It shouldn't surprise us, though, really, should it? Jesus.
Before we move on.
Yep.
At what point do we get concerned about Taranto?
No, I thought he was okay. I thought he was pretty...
His kicking. At what point do we get concerned about that? I see the only reason I'm bringing this up is it's all I've seen for the last 2 weeks. So Taranto and Hopper, worst trades ever, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not too concerned by him. I mean, he's letting Prestia do a mountain of work under a lot less pressure, which is handy. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for people, but the conditions were far from ideal to be kicking pinpoint passes. And I think a lot of our players, him included, were still trying to bite off maybe a bit more than they can chew, and it probably made it look far worse than what it should have been. But I suppose that's because it was ingrained into them to try and kick the ball a certain way. But yeah, I'm not kind of getting the hate personally.
Taranto,
I think I'd be more concerned about his disposal on a game that's in decent conditions and he can't hit the 20, 25 meter kicks. That's when I'd be concerned. But the conditions he's played in lately haven't been great.
He was at 63% disposal efficiency and pissing down rain.
Yeah, as a clearance midfielder.
12 contested.
Yeah, I don't think...
Does it have his kicking efficiency, though?
Well, his disposal efficiency is 63%.
Yeah, that includes handballs.
Yeah, 12 kicks, 15 handballs. There you go. 8 tackles. Yeah. So that's the other thing. So he was our leading tackle. Yeah. So
he's been in the top two or three most weeks for tackles as well for us.
I just think it's just when Richmond's down, people love to kick us, right?
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people are turned off and they're watching shows like us or watching Richo's, whatever, because it's just the stuff the mainstream media dishes up is just pure garbage, right? It is garbage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, welcome aboard, everybody who watches.
As I said to a Geelong supporter on the board who was criticising it, I said, Taranto and Hopper are now allowing us to do what Geelong did with Selwood last year, resting Selwood. We can now rest Cochin like we did, make him sub. He doesn't need to play the full game. Prestia might need a break, every 4 or 5 games he might need to sit out the next one. It's now allowing us to do that. So it's not so much what they're giving us on field, which, yes, we want them to produce on the field as well, but it's also what they're allowing us to do long term with player management and things like that we got them in for as well.
Yeah.
All right, let's turn our attention now to the Swans game coming up in the Gather Round. So playing obviously in Adelaide, for those who weren't aware, which is going to be interesting to see how it plays out. It obviously neutralizes any home ground advantage for either team. The million-dollar question, though, to kick off the looking at the Swans game, is who do we have left to come in? I saw Travis before say that he's in Adelaide and he's quite tall, so maybe he might get a call up in the chat. But what changes are we going with? So obviously, Lynch will be out, Graham will be out, Nank will be out as three minimum. Who is coming in, CB?
Well, I've got Cochin coming in. I've got Miller coming in. I've got Jack Ross coming in and Jack Rewalt coming in.
I would personally like to see Morris back in as well, but I wouldn't want it to be at the expense of Sonzi or Clark.
Well, I mean, the problem, again, Mansell's playing a role, and to be honest, the coaching staff know far more about than I do. I don't know if he's hitting his KPIs or not, which is keeping him in team. That I can't answer. But to me, logically, if Rioli Jr. was to come in, it would be Mansell's position for mine. But I don't know.
Grock, what about changes for you? Anything different to what CB mentioned?
Just give me a sec. I'll get the VFL stats up because I want to see MJ's stats on the weekend because I heard he wasn't all that great. But then again, the VFL side weren't great either.
Young Banks could be close for debut.
So just while Grock's looking at that, we'll just go through some numbers. So these are comparison numbers between Richmond and Sydney. So for average scoring shots, Sydney averaged 26.5 and Richmond are averaging 19.7. For inside 50s, Richmond's averaging 51, Sydney are averaging 60. For disposal efficiencies, we average 71, Sydney average 73. For overall clearances and average, we're at 35, Sydney at 34. So the breakdown is in centre clearances, we're 9, Sydney 12. For stoppage clearances, we're at 26, they're at 22. And for rebound 50s, which is the interesting stat, we're at 44 versus Sydney at 36.5. So make of those numbers what you will.
Yeah, so the weekend weather, Saturday and Sunday, what day do we play? Is it Saturday?
Yeah. We played Saturday and Swans played Saturday night.
Yeah, this week. This game, yeah.
Saturday night, 4 o'clock? Sorry.
Yeah, because Saturday, Adelaide is raining again. So presumably similar conditions to what we played again this week. So... MJ had 7 disposals and 5 tackles on the weekend. So not really the greatest game for him to come in, especially considering what Mansell put up on the weekend. So I don't think MJ comes back. I'd be very similar to CB.
Oh, they're Friday night.
Friday night. Okay, so Friday night is 24, so... yeah, so reasonably fine. If that's the case, if Jack comes in, like I think he has to with Lynch out, but if Jack wants another week, I wouldn't mind giving Bauer a go. He's been very solid at VFL level, had 18 disposals, 5 marks on the weekend in very windy, greasy conditions for a key forward, so he did very, very well. So for me, it'd be either between Jack or Bauer, depending on how... Jack's feeling. Obviously, I think he would come in. Bell would be the one that I'd like to come in as well, just give him a taste. If Ryan doesn't get the ruck roll and Miller does, I'd like to see Bell come in for Ryan, if that's the case. But yeah, I agree with the other three. Ross has to come in. Cochin has to come in. Yeah, I think those changes are automatically spoken for.
And then looking at the Swans, they're obviously going to have Paddy McCartan's going to miss with concussion. There's been, I suppose the speculation is always around Buddy, whether he'll play, because I suppose they're trying to manage him through the year like what we're doing with our older guys as well. But I don't think there'll be any mass changes. How are we going to go about knocking off the Swans? Obviously, we're a bit down on personnel, but like someone said before, we're very much in games. It's just the ability to finish games off and to play better for longer. Like our best when we actually play it, whether it's for a quarter or two, is unbelievably good. It's how do we unlock the magic secret again to get us back to doing it for three quarters. Even three quarters would be enough to beat most sides these days.
Well, last week, Florent had 33 disposals and Warner 30. To put in perspective, they're two main on ballers. And the other one who always seems to chop us is Papley. So the four that concern me is Florent, Warner, Heaney and Papley. And then Buddy normally saves his one game a year for us as well. So I think it's going to be a battle out of the midfield. But I do like the thought of Samson Ryan's opportunity this week in the ruck. It excites me. I think he will give us a lot of service going out of that midfield, I think. That's not offense to Nank. I just think Ryan can jump better and he's taller. He's bigger. Just gets it down.
Few people in chat saying that Bauer played in the back line. So I think we mentioned the other week that he was being trialed, like flipping his role to the back line. But I think the comment about him coming into play forward is more of a necessity thing because Lynch is out and it could be a good partnership for he and Riewoldt. And then obviously Samson Ryan will drift down there as well.
Ruck. Yeah. Unless Miller comes in for ruck. Miller did play full ruck at the VFL, had 16 disposals, 33 hit outs. So. Yeah. Had a very solid game at VFL level as a ruckman. So,
what do we have to do to win, though, Grock?
We've got to stop the Swans' transition. They're very good at transitioning from halfback, from their back half. Obviously, with Goulden, Campbell, Florent, these kind of players driving the ball forward, they're very, very good kicks. That's the main thing. Their foot skills are very, very good. Buddy. He hasn't looked the best, and I'm standing by my call at the start of the season that he won't kick more than 25 this year. I'm standing by that. He just looks very much like he's slowed down.
It was 8 disposals and no goals last week against Port.
Yep. Trent Cotchin-like.
I don't think he'll get more than 25 this year. I think he's done. Heaney, I think, is the one that worries me because Brody is usually the one that takes Heaney when we play them. So it's going to be interesting to see who takes him. I think you'd have to say to be either Vlosten or Grimes at this point. Papley, yeah, it's a small forwards that generally kill us. The only thing with Papley is he's very much not the type to win his own ball like Charlie Cameron is. He needs the ball delivered to him or put out in space for him to run onto. So I'd probably go with either Baker or Rioli on Papley. The biggest ones for me are probably Parker and Mills. Mills absolutely torched us last year. I think Mills had 40 last time we played them and just killed us. So we need someone to man up on him. So Mansell really needs to clamp down. I think that's the biggest thing is just to shut down their outside runners because we saw what Collingwood did with us with their outside runners. We saw it with the Bulldogs with Bailey Dale and Caleb Daniel on the outside. We just need to shut down the midfield spread and run from the outside.
I'll throw this question out there. Do we as a Richmond supporters now have to accept, given everything's going on, do we have to start thinking that this isn't a year we're challenging, this is actually a rebuilding year? Do we need to change that thought process at some stage or not?
I think that's what Dimmer sort of said with the young blokes coming in, that it's sort of like a, not so much a rebuild, but it's more a refresh, get the younger players in. He identified St Kilda and Geelong in that regard as he doesn't want to go down that route where we play the older blokes every single week. And then when they retire, we've got younger players to come in who haven't played and get a little stage fright. He wants to sort of incorporate them now so that when the time comes where the players are gone, they've got 20, 25 games under their belt and they can be solid AFL contributors. So not so much a rebuild. I think Dimas right with it's a refresh of the list and just, the best
one. I think, Jim, I have the same wording terminology as you, a transition period. But I will say that prior to maybe this week, I really thought we had the list to compete. And on paper, we do. Like, it's great, but for whatever reason, it's just not piecing together as it probably should with the names we've got on the field. So is round 5 too early to... You don't want to say put the queue in the rack. You obviously want to win games, but I think there does come a point in the season where you do have to let the kids learn how to play without Cochin, without Riewoldt. That's why maybe they left them both off at the same time. They do have to start adjusting to life without these types of players, unfortunately. It's just one of those things. And it may be at the expense of winning a couple of games, though.
Go ahead, CD.
No, I was saying, and that's the thing. It's the opportunity cost of developing your youth. So what are you prepared to cop for a long-term benefit, so to speak?
Yeah. And it's hindsight is a wonderful thing. Absolutely. If we had known at sort of the start of free agency and trade week that we'd be, you know, 1-1-2 and injury list longer than John Holmes, like, would you think maybe we'd keep at least one of our first rounders given the situation that we're in? Because we've got no first rounders this year or next year. And with the older blokes coming through, you know, at this stage, like with the way we're going, we might be giving up Harley Reid. I saw Laurie make a reference to Harley Reid earlier. At this stage, that's probably a very real possibility with the outs that we have. So would we have been better off getting one of Hopper or Taranto and keeping a first rounder at this point?
Nah, I'm okay with what we did. I'm actually very okay. We haven't done anything. We've been stockpiling kids for the last 2-3 years. Keep that in mind. And then we've gone all out and bolstered the midfield. So and they're 25, 26, so they've got years of football left in them. I'm actually A-OK with getting known quantities in, and they are good footballers. I mean, again, fuck it. Reading AFL media is like watching Sky News, CNN or Fox. You just got to get that shit. You got to get off that shit, right? You got to find alternate independent news streams to have a better perspective on things.
Greg, I tend to agree, and I think a lot of Richmond people would as well, that getting in Taranto and Hopper probably did signal that we thought we were going to be able to contend again, but for whatever reason, and now with these longer-term injuries on top, it's not maybe piecing together. I know it's still early days, and maybe we'll peak a bit later on and we'll string a few wins together, but history suggests that if you're behind the eight ball from the start, it can be very hard to play catch-up. But that's where the draw may actually be in our favour towards the pointy end of the season, having an extra 2 points up our sleeve. But that will remain to be seen.
As the saying goes, life is what happens when you're busy making plans.
I'm just waiting for the app to load. I'll just give you the ladder right now. So currently, the 13th. Yeah, but we're playing, we've got Sydney, Melbourne, Geelong, the next three games, yeah? Yes. So at the conclusion of that, we've actually played 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've actually played five out of the top 8 teams so far on the ladder, to put it in perspective. So the irony being, if we can just get through these, and I'm saying that includes Melbourne and Sydney
West Coast, not Geelong.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Surely we beat those pricks. But I'm just saying,
yeah, we're playing the better teams, aren't we? It's not the prettiest of starts fixture-wise.
So as players return, we should have an easier run of games, is my point. So all of a sudden, we should get a bit of momentum in that middle part of the year, which is what we're hoping for. So
we'll see how it goes. All right, some key matchups to look forward to against the Swans. Jack versus Rampy. I suppose Rampy's got no real other alternative but to take Jack with no Lynch. How do we see that one playing out?
Rampy's a bloody good defender. Jack will have his hands full.
He's always done very well on Jack, hasn't he, Rampy?
Yeah.
Even on Lynch. Either way, he's a solid defender.
Mate, the man's an animal. He's prepared to scale goalposts just to get a result.
Yeah. I'm not expecting Jack to have a hugely influential game this week. Obviously, Rampy's very, very good in a contest one-on-one and extremely good on a lead, very athletic and can get the fist in. So with Jack slowing down and his sort of contested marking ability dropping off, I think Rampy's probably going to get the chocolates in that one. As much as it pains me to say, I do think all Jack needs to do now is just bring it to ground. Don't need, just bring it to ground.
If Jack can get two goals, I'll be happy with that return.
If he can get one and bring it to ground for Bolton, Dusty, Cumberland, who can get maybe two or three between them, that'd be a good game.
I like that call, Nicky. If Jack gets four, we'll be looking okay. I reckon if Jack can kick four. Buddy versus Young. Now, I like what you've done here, CB, because even though Buddy's obviously slowing down a bit with age, what a learning experience it would be for Young to play on Buddy, like it was the previous few years when Bolter played on Buddy. Yes. It would be invaluable, and it might hurt us fractionally at various times just from a pure experience and star quality factor. But I would really love to see Young have a crack at Buddy. I think that would be fantastic for his development.
What are the odds Buddy's going to do that dirty old man shit that he always does against us and drop the knees and heavy tackles and the late bumps? You watch Buddy, he's a dirty prick. And I expect him to get up his old tricks this weekend against us.
The old tricks. Actually, someone made a good point. Jack's Tyler only kicked four. I don't know if everyone noticed, but late in the game against the Dogs, he was thrown forward as a bit of a Hail Mary by Dimmer. So that will be interesting to see if that progresses any further as the weeks roll on with our forward line woes. But Greggy, apparently both McCartans are out.
Both concussion. Yeah,
which is, I hope they both get better very soon, especially Paddy's had an awful run with it all. But from a matchup point of view, that's definitely helpful for us. Haywood versus Bolter will be another good one, CB.
That's right. I think that's the matchup there. What do you reckon, Grok? Bolter to take Haywood?
No, I reckon Bolter takes Amadi. Amadi's very athletic. Amadi's very athletic. Haywood, Grimes probably takes Haywood, in my opinion.
There you go. Yeah, good call. I was trying to work that one out.
JW, Bradkey unfortunately broke his hand in the VFL, so no good. Same as Biggie. Biggie was probably in line to come in to do some rucking duties potentially, and he also got injured. So the guys who were meant to be coming in for the ones who got injured at AFL level are also not playing themselves, which is, a bit shit. Logan McDonald's a good call, Kat. I don't think we've got him on there, but that could be another matchup as well. So he's obviously bobbing up and kicking some goals.
Maybe Miller. If Miller comes in, Miller takes
the goal. Yeah, float down. It was going to be a whole team defense thing. Heaney and Papley, CB, is the million-dollar questions. You would think it's going to be raffled off between Rioli and Vlosten, and maybe they just sort of swap around and rotate. Maybe even Mansell might get a job down back at some stage on one of them as well.
Oh, I think. To be honest, I think Baker will probably take one of them, won't he? Just get the junkyard dog onto one of them.
Yeah, Baker for Papley for me. Vlosten's just as good in the air as Heaney overhead, so I'd probably put Vlosten on Heaney.
Yep.
And the last one, Grok, Florent, who in an amazing turn of events thought he kicked the winning goal and didn't make the distance. But 33 disposals, he's getting quite a bit of the ball. I know we don't tag, but who do we go head-to-head with him with?
It has to be McIntosh. Florent's their best runner at the club. McIntosh is our best runner. Has to be McIntosh.
Yeah.
And I still think he's a little bit underrated. Like, the work he does patrolling the wing is very good. I know he can butcher it, but shit, all of them can. All of them do. So I sometimes feel he's maybe a little bit harshly judged with disposal when you sort of consider, his intercept marks. Same with Pickett. He's got good overhead marking as well. So I think, Nick, you're bang on here that Pickett and McIntosh are going to be crucial this week to the win. But what do you guys think of the Adelaide Oval prospect? It's been a ground that we've played well. I remember seeing something Dimmer pointing out that for a little while there we had struggled with the width of the ground, that we would actually kick a lot more out in the full when playing wide than we typically would elsewhere, but I think we've adjusted in time. Do you think, how much of a role will a neutral venue play between both teams?
Well, I think
you go, Croc, sorry.
You go.
No, I was going to say, I think it's critical. I think Richmond's a pretty solid travelling team, and Sydney are as well. But the width of that ground, using the width of that ground is absolutely crucial. So Marlon and Nick Corder, correct? Marlon and K-Mac, Cappy, they have to play that role. But the one thing, if you remember last time we played them, the hardest thing we've got is John Longmire's one of the best coaches going around. And if you recall last time, we were absolutely pumping the Swans up to half time, and he flicked a switch where they started hitting inside 45 kicks. We were forcing them down the line, and they changed. And once they were able to change tack halfway in that game, and that's where they got on top of us. We actually had our coach. We didn't have a plan B against them last time. So I hope Hardwick has learned from that. And should they pull that move on us again, we've actually got that covered.
And I think Adelaide Oval is much more conducive to how we want to play than playing at the SCG. Our record at Adelaide Oval is far better at the Adelaide Oval than it is at the SCG. Obviously, completely different. SCG is a lot shorter, whereas Adelaide Oval is a little bit more narrow. So I do think the Swans might struggle a little bit with the extra sort of length, having to defend the ground at Adelaide Oval.
I definitely think it's more favourable for us being at Adelaide Oval than the Swans, for sure. I know it's our home game, so technically it would have been it. I mean, we've typically played them at Marvel, so whenever it's been our home game. So I would probably even argue that Adelaide Oval is a better venue for us than Marvel from a ground perspective. So it's not the worst result there, is it?
I forgot my joke for the Inns, though. Shane Edwards in. He's in Adelaide.
Oh, yeah,
Chuck him a Richmond jumper.
Daniel Jackson, he's over there as well.
Jacko's there as well. Yeah, give them some jumpers.
Yeah. All right, well, we'll get some margins for this one. Feel free to send them through in the chat as well. Oh, Nikki wants to know, are we going to Adelaide? I will not be going to Adelaide, unfortunately.
Not me.
I've had enough involvement in the gather rounds to get it up and running. I don't need to be there to see it.
Now, I'll be missing them, but I actually will be attending the Fremantle game in Freo in a few weeks' time, so for the King's birthday weekend. So I shall be joining our Western Australian brethren over there.
Very nice. You can report in live from WA. All right, Grock, who is winning this one and by how much?
I'm feeling pretty confident in this match. First time that I've been confident this year. So Richmond by 25, but with my tipping this year in the work tipping comp, we're going to get done by 60 now that I've said that. Richmond by 25. No, that's nice.
CB?
Tigers by 4 points.
Very good, Kane. I reckon we'll get up by 14 points. Yeah, I just want to see another good effort from the young kids, and just if we tweak a few things, I think we'll be okay. And it's one of the, I was talking about this to a friend to Herbie today, that we hear a lot about from Dimmer that you learn more from your losses than your wins, which is true. I don't disagree with that. But my big question is, can we now implement what we've learned from these losses and actually rectify it rather than just acknowledging it and still playing how we were playing that got us the loss in the first place? So that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the, you know, acknowledge the issues, but to actually rectify the problem so we actually get the 4 points.
Well, we did actually learn from our kickouts from last week. Our kickouts against the Dogs were much better than they were against Collingwood, where we just went long to the right-hand side. We actually mixed it up fairly well against the Dogs, which was good to see.
That's a good call, Anthony. Give me another Sonsy shimmy or two this week. That'll get the crowd up and about if we can see that. So,
Juddy Clark, three goals.
Yeah, I was pumped for him to get his goal. It was a bloody good kick under pressure too. Yep. It was very, very nice. All right, gents, thank you so much for your time tonight. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube, follow us on Facebook, on Twitter, etc. I think we're closing in on 700 subscribers on YouTube, which is amazing. I think Facebook, we're almost at 1,800, and Twitter on 2,600 and something or other. So we appreciate love and support, and we always appreciate the banter and the comments and the shit we get tagged in on a daily basis. It's always good fun to interact with you all. But thank you so much for everyone's love and support as always. And Grock and CB, thank you for your time tonight, gentlemen.
Thank you, folks. And boys, just stay online after we close off, because I may have a little bit of mail for you that I won't share on the show.
Jeez, so, you're about to get some hate DMs on Twitter for that. My goodness, you're a brave man doing that, CB. I would not have gone with that personally. Well done. That's extremely brave.
Rip your inbox.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. You're about to get torched.
Leave my account on Twitter as I speak.
Jesus. All right. Then I might do a tweet of just a couple of eyeballs and just to tease everyone even more. Even no matter what's said, I'll chuck a tweet out there. But have a good night, everybody. And good luck to everyone who is attending the Gather Round game in Adelaide. So hopefully it's a ripper. And we will see you all next Monday. And if you want to follow the Pink Panthers on Twitch, you might see me playing some golf on the next few nights. Grok's my putting caddy, so come by and have a chat and have some banter with us there as well. So have a good night, everyone.
And Friday night, I'll be seeing Electric Mirror at the Corner Hotel, not even watching the game, smashing beers. So I'll probably see Richo there.
And as always, until next time, go Tigers.
Go Tigers.